out here on X's and Bros across the great state of Michigan. So happy, so honored to be part of this network that includes the wonderful stations throughout our state, like Grand Rapids, WMAX 96.1 FM, The Game. That's where you can hear us Monday through Friday from 6 until 9. In Cadillac on WKAD, The Ticket 93.7, and Grayling and Gaylord, WGRY 101.1 FM, Up North Sports Radio. Traverse City, WKAD 93.7 FM, The Ticket. WMBN 104.7 FM and 1340 AM, The Ticket, Northern Michigan. In Flint on WTRX Sports Extra, 1330 AM. In Midland, Saginaw, Bay City, WLUN 100.9 FM, The Mitt. And as we mentioned, in Cadillac, WKAD, The Ticket, 93.7 FM. I'm Matt Shepard. Welcome to X's and Bros. We're with you Monday through Friday from 6 until 9. Tigers a winner 6-1 yesterday. Kerry Carpenter a 6-game RBI streak. Had one yesterday. Torkelson had a couple of runs driven in. Buddy Kennedy hit a home run in his Tigers debut. Casey Mize picked up the victory, going 6 innings of 5-hit scoreless ball. In the NBA playoffs, Boston started on a 14-0 run. They blow out Miami 114-94. Jason Tatum had a triple-double. Clippers over Dallas 109-97, despite 33 from Doncic and 31 from Irving. Milwaukee torches Indiana. Damian Lillard had 35 points, all in the first half. And OKC trimmed New Orleans 94-92. They had 20 lead changes in that tightly contested game. In the NHL, Rangers a winner 4-1. Matt Rempe had the first goal of the game. He's known more as a big, strong, physical force who fights a lot. But he scored one goal in 17 games during the regular season. He scores in the postseason last night, and they started chanting his name at Madison Square Garden. What a cool feeling that must have been. Former Michigan star Kyle Connor had 2 goals and 3 points in Winnipeg's 7-6 win over Colorado. Vancouver doubled up Nashville 4-2 in Florida. Got a goal and an assist from Matt Tkachuk. And they beat Tampa 3-2 in what was a very entertaining hockey game. NFL draft is coming up this Thursday. We would invite you, if you're coming to Detroit, we would invite you to the Caucus Club. Now, Bill Simonson, the huge show, is going to be there from 3 to 6. He's got a lot of guests. You got to be a bigwig to get in. I mean, it is the huge show. But it is a cool venue, and it's a very cool vibe in what's taking place downtown. So that takes place. Listen to Bill if you can't go visit him from 3 to 6. Especially Thursday in downtown Detroit at the Caucus Club. I will be at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort up north for a draft party hosted by Herman Moore. And then Friday morning, we'll be broadcasting live from Soaring Eagle Casino Resort Getaway Reimagined. Let's go to the phone lines, 866-838-4843. Ben, who do we got?
We got a text, actually.
Oh, text. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. No problem. This one is about if Lions moved up to the 12th pick.
Okay.
I'd pick the cornerback Terrion Arnold from Alabama or Talese Fuaga, the tackle from Oregon State.
Yeah, I'd love to have either one of them. Depending on which mock draft you see, it would be hard to take either one of them. Depending on which mock draft you're looking at. Arnold was a five-star safety in high school. Played a little inside and outside corner under Nick Saban, and was great there. Good leader. And depending on which draft guru you talk to, they feel like he's the best cover corner in the draft. As far as And Quinion Mitchell is the other. Okay, so they're pretty damn close. as far as Fuaga is considered, the beauty of him is, sure, he's a tackle at Oregon State. He's a mauler. Love that stuff about But people feel like he can play on the anywhere on the offensive line. He's got a mean streak, good motor. You could plug him in at guard. Graham Glasgow could be, you know, a sixth offensive lineman. That would really strengthen your team. I love that philosophy because you know me. You've listened to me long enough. I truly believe you build from the inside out. Those are my philosophies when it comes to football. You build from the inside out, and you draft best player available. That dude's a really good player. At least in college, he was. I don't know if he's going to be a cornerstone. I don't know if he's going to be the second coming of Penei Sewell at the NFL level. But from what I watched, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I broke down all this tape on Fuaga and how good he is and how he compares to Fashanu of Penn State and all these other tackles. I'm not going to sit there and try to blow smoke. But I'm going to tell you, everything you've read has really enlightened you on just how good / great a player this guy can be. The problem Lions fans would have with a choice like that would be the fact they believe, and rightfully so, that the offensive line is the strength of this team. And if it's that strong, if it's the primary reason they got to where they did, and they didn't lose much, they lose Jackson, but they replaced him, what are you going to do? Why would you already add to your strength? Because it's a philosophy. Because he's the best player available. Because you can really never have enough offensive linemen. Because he does show some versatility, and I'm not a huge, we got to have a guy because he can play guard, center, and tackle. No. But at some point, you have to look long-term, too. It can't be just short-term. It can't be just 2024. You've got to be able to say, might not have this guy, Taylor Decker. Might lose this guy, whomever it may be. We're worried about Frank Ragnow's health. Suddenly your strength becomes even stronger, and you still have time to address the other quote-unquote needs that you have. I'm good with that. I would be good with either one of those guys. I would be a little fearful if they move up to 12, if either one would be there. Now, to your point, I think it's fair to assume, that can be dangerous, but I think it's fair to assume there's going to be four quarterbacks, at least, you know, four quarterbacks taken, and you're going to have three wide receivers taken. There are seven spots right there. The three receivers, as you know, Marvin Harrison Jr., Romeo Dunze, and Malik Nabers, the LSU wide receiver. Joe Alt's probably going to go in the top 10, or top 12 in this case. So that's eight. Then you have to ask yourself, is Dallas Turner going to go that high? Probably. There would be nine. And then perhaps the biggest swing move might be one of two guys. Brock Bowers, the outstanding tight end out of Georgia, special prospect. Where's he going to go? He's better than Kyle Pitts was at Florida. He's a winner, excellent player. And Latu, the defensive end out of UCLA, the edge rusher. I don't even know if it's a defensive end or if you want to call him an outside linebacker playing in two-point whatever. Those guys might be a huge difference, a huge key to where others line up and how those dominoes may fall. 866-838-4843. Text us, Sports Radio, to 21000. This is X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
in the Den with Dan Dickerson.
Hey, Tigers fans. A new baseball season means a new season on Michigan's favorite island destination, Mackinac Island. Baseball, spring, and Mackinac Island. Things that return every year, reminding us of what a great state we live in. Shake off the winter blahs, take in a game, and plan your trip to America's top summer destination, MackinacIsland.org. Through 17 games, the Detroit Tigers had made 5 errors, leading to 9 unearned runs. They were playing elite-level team defense. And then, over their next 4 games, they committed 9 errors, leading to 9 unearned runs, which contributed directly to 3 losses. But streaks like that are going to happen. Manager A.J. Hinch says for him and his staff, it's all about what's the core reason behind the error or mistake. If it's just a mistake, then you stay the course and trust your guys will make the adjustments. If the reason is technique or defensive alignment or focus, then you address it with the individual player. This is a good defensive team with strengths in a lot of areas. AJ says they'll just continue to emphasize good, clean baseball, stick to the routine, and over the course of 162 games, the end results will be there.
Back with you on X's and Bros, Monday through Friday from 6 until 9. Text line is always open for you, so is the phone line, 866-838-4843. In-text sports radio to 21,000. Look, it does not have to be something that we are discussing. It can be whatever you want. We love the change in direction. I think there's too many sports talk show hosts, or talk show hosts in general, who just feel like, you know what? We've got to talk about what I want to talk about. This is what I'm discussing. I can't divert my attention from this topic. It's not the way it works here. Anything you want to discuss, it's on the table for you. Feel free. Again, the phone line, 866-838-4843, and the text line, Sports Radio to 21,000. Interesting article from Kurt Warner, or quote from Kurt Warner, not an article by him. But he said, and this is a Hall of Fame quarterback, he thinks there's a lot of things to like about J.J. McCarthy. He said, including the technique by which he plays. He said, but if I'm drafting someone in the top 5, I want to know that I can trust him to win games with his right arm. We never saw the pressure on him to have to make throw after throw after throw, week after week, to carry his football team. You have to do that in the National Football League with the way the league is built. Talent at the quarterback position has got to be able to do that. So that is a huge question for me because we've never seen it. Perhaps the best argument you've heard, not against J.J. McCarthy, but just the concern of drafting J.J. McCarthy. Yes, 27-1 and a winning percentage of, 96.5 is damn impressive. Yes, his completion percentage, damn impressive. Yes, his red zone performance, damn impressive. Yes, his third down completion percentage, really impressive. And pretty damn good in big games, right? Fourth downs, you bet. Yards per attempt off play action, 9th in the nation, you bet. Here's part of the problem. At least until you reached the playoffs. Didn't have many fourth quarter pass attempts on the year. And didn't because his team was in a blowout situation a lot of times. Sometimes it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like I said, I think it's legitimate what Kurt Warner stated. And it's something we should all consider when you're looking at J.J. McCarthy. It's not a knock on him. It just happens when your team is in the type of situation that his team has been in. It's because your team's been so successful. It's okay to say, I have some hesitation about certain players. There's no perfect player out there. Let's go to the phone lines here on X's and Bros. Ben, who do we got next?
Yeah, Richard in Saginaw.
Hi, Richard. How are you today? Glad you're listening to us on WLUN 100.9 FM, The Mint. What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to touch base on the Memorial Cup coming to Saginaw. It's the first time in the United States.
Yeah. And give us some information on that, will you?
Talking about that. Well, it's the end of May.
Yep.
So it's the first time. It's the end of May through the 1st of June, and it's the first time in the United States. So you guys need to start talking about that a little bit.
All right, we'll give that some love. There's no doubt about that. That's awesome.
And then the Sioux Greyhounds in Saginaw are playing Game 7 tomorrow night.
Big game.
In the OHL playoffs. Big game.
Fantastic. Yeah, love it. Way to go, man. Appreciate the knowledge.
Good talking with you.
Same to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, always appreciate that. It's a great idea. Let's do this. Let's do what we can to get a representative from Saginaw in terms of some hockey and see how important that is and how they go about it. You know, I was thinking about that yesterday, obviously a different level, but Richard's comment kind of sparked something for me. I was thinking about the Hart Trophy winner, who's going to win the Hart Trophy, and how it's really up to four players, I think. I think it's down to four players, I should say, and how it's one of the closer races that we've had in recent memory. The Hart Trophy, in case you're unaware, I mean, it's basically the MVP of the NHL, okay? There's been two-man races, like Jose Theodore and Jerome McGinley back in 2002. The only tie atop the voting in the expansion era. Chris Pronger edged out Jaromir Jagr by a single point in 2000. 2 points separated Mark Messier and Ray Bourque in 1990. Alexander Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby both finished with 56 points in 2013, but the nod went to Ovechkin. This year, you have Nikita Kucherov, Tampa, Nathan MacKinnon, Colorado, Austin Matthews, Toronto, and Connor McDavid, Edmonton. Could you make a case for others? I suppose. I mean, Quinn Hughes had an unbelievable year, led all defensemen in assists and goals. Artemi Panarin, I don't think the Rangers win the President's Trophy without him. Had a career year, 120 points, three shy of a franchise record. But they're not in the same conversation. Not as the other four. Kucherov led the year with 144 points. He won the Hart in 2019 when he led the league in points, so he did it again this year. Had 100 assists. Led all players in road points. 54 assists on the road, most since Wayne Gretzky, had 57 in 1991. Led the league in percentage of his team's goals. Just the seventh player ever to factor in 50% of his team's scoring. Makes a strong case, don't you think? Yeah. MacKinnon, second in the league in that category, second in scoring, set a franchise record, 35 straight home games with a point, second longest in history, 25 multi-point games during that run. Austin Matthews, who won the Hart in 2022, would probably run away with the trophy this year after boasting 69 goals. Most in the league since 1992. Fastest American-born player to reach 50 goals. Eighth player to ever have multiple 60-goal score seasons. But he's probably going to finish third. And then, of course, Connor McDavid, who I think is the most electrifying player in the world. He's the reigning Hart Trophy winner. He's won it three times. He had 100 assists. So his assists were up, but his goals were down. It's the fourth time he's led the league in assists. The problem with a guy like Connor McDavid is the same thing there was a problem with Wayne Gretzky, and that's you're measured not just against Kucherov and MacKinnon and Matthews and Panarin and Pastrnak and others. You're measured against yourself from the year before. Voters are looking at it going, yeah, but he didn't do what he did a year ago. You know, you've set a bar that's almost impossible to reach. I think Nathan MacKinnon's going to win it. And there's a part of me, first of all, I think he's the second best player in the world to McDavid. But I think the difference there is that he's never won it. And I think there's something to be said for that, where some people, some voters, will take that into consideration, even though I don't think you should. I think it's almost human nature that they will. Anyways, that spurred the conversation, the thought, after talking about Saginaw and the Memorial Cup and things of that nature, that are coming to Saginaw first time on U.S. soil. That's pretty cool. It's great knowledge. That's why we've got the smartest audience in sports. 866-838-4843. That's the phone number on X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network across the great state of Michigan. Stay with us.
Huge here with a reminder that on Thursday, April 25th, I'll be in Detroit for the NFL Draft. I'll be broadcasting live 3 until 6 from the world-famous Caucus Club as they prepare for the private NFL VIP party with Bull Rush Sports Management and certified NFL PA agent David Gregory. We'll be joined by Josh Garvey and his team from Dorn Mayhew. Matt Golden, the CEO at the Tullymore Golf Resort, will check in. And also our friends from Copper Craft Distillery. Be listening for your chance to win a VIP bracelet to get in to this private NFL draft night bash at the Caucus Club in downtown Detroit, less than a half mile from the NFL draft stage. It's being presented by the Michigan Sports Network and David Gregory and Bull Rush Sports Management. Be listening to The Huge Show for your chance to win a VIP bracelet to the huge NFL draft watch party Thursday, April 25th in Detroit.
June 23rd, the world's most notorious rock band is coming to Soaring Eagle Casino. Motley Crue. The Crue. Part of the Soaring Eagle Summer Outdoor Concert Series. Tickets start at $54 and are on sale now at the box office and online at etix.com. Party hard, then take a ride on the wild side. Motley Crue. Sunday, June 23rd. At Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort.
One of the big reasons Brad Holmes and the Lions have been so successful from a Detroit standpoint. It's not successful yet from a San Francisco and a Pittsburgh and a Dallas and a New England standpoint, but it is very successful from a Lions standpoint. And that's a good start. You would like it to be elevated year after year. That's what happens when you have success. People expect it. That's a good thing, okay? Expectations are okay to have. I know in today's society that is often that is almost taboo. To talk about expectations. It's okay to want to win. It's okay to be tough. It's okay to sit there and go, you know what? Even though we won the division, even though I've got 5 picks in the last 3 years who've been Pro Bowlers, even though I've got 2 picks in the last 3 years that have been All Pro, I want to get better. That mindset is not necessarily embraced by everybody these days. There's no flipping participation trophies in the NFL. It's disgusting. The one thing Holmes wants is people on the same page. The one thing he doesn't want is everybody to be on the same page for the sake of being on the same damn page. Speak your mind. Tell me who you like. He'll make the pick, but he brought guys in for a reason. He hired them for a reason. Tell me what you think. That's how you keep things on the track. It's not based on window of opportunity. He's going to draft who he thinks and who his team thinks is going to benefit this team moving forward. Really good recent article by Sean Windsor in the Detroit Free Press. I don't know exactly when it was, but I was reading it. I think it was last week. And he was talking about, or he was writing about, how the Lions in the past, remember when they beat Dallas in 1992? Sure. The next year, the Lions drafted Robert Porche and Tracy Scroggins and Jason Hansen. Good players. Porche, really good. Outside of Bubba Baker, probably the best defensive end the Lions have ever had. Jason Hansen, best kicker the Lions have ever had. Tracy Scroggins was a decent player. He went to, I think he played 10 years in the league. There's nothing wrong with that. Didn't put up huge numbers, but he's a good player. But they fell off. They went from reaching the NFC title game to falling off. The reason they got bullied in the NFC title game against Washington that year, who ended up winning the Super Bowl, is because they couldn't compete in the trenches. The Lions can compete in the trenches. They have to continue to be able to compete in the trenches and dominate in the trenches. That's how you win football games. That and your trigger. The mindset of Brad Holmes and his staff is a winning mindset. Love that about him. Phone number is 866-838-4843. Ben, we got a phone call, right?
Text.
Oh, text. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it says, good morning, Shep. Question for you. Any chance a guy like Riley Green, Tarek Skubal, or Spencer Torkelson could quietly be upset that Colt Keith got a big deal before playing an MLB game? Any chance Riley or Steve Kemp or Glenn Wilson of the young players are traded one day to bring in a really good return back?
Yes, depending on the player. I don't think it would be a position player. I think it would be you trade from a position of strength. You don't want to weaken yourself in one specific area. I think you would trade pitching moving forward. The Steve Kemp, Glenn Wilson reference is a good one. Steve Kemp traded for Chet Lemon. Glenn Wilson traded to Philadelphia before, among others, Willie Hernandez. You trade from a position of strength. What is the Tigers' strength right now? It's pitching depth, which is kind of ironic because they had to go out and sign a couple of free agents in Flaherty and Maeda. The other question is a good one. Any chance that Green, Torkelson, or Skubal are upset at the Colt Keith contract when he hadn't even appeared in a Major League Baseball game? Absolutely. It's not jealousy as it is, where do I fit in? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I really don't. I wondered this. Let me ask you this. Did you wonder that? I bet you did. I bet you there was something about it that thought, wait a minute, on January 29th, since on January 28th he signed the deal, on January 29th you probably said, a six-year contract worth over $28 million, including options in 2030 and 31 and 32, and he hadn't even played a major league game yet? Doesn't that seem a little strange to you? Yeah. I found it a little surprising, more than a little. I thought Riley Green would be that guy, to be honest with you. If you're looking at a guy who is a staple for your team moving forward, I would have guessed it would have been Riley Green. Not a guy who was moving his way up from West Michigan and Lakeland and Toledo and Erie. Not a 295 hitter at the minor league level. It's not a knock on Colt Keith because I think he's a good player. And he's a really good hitter. I think he's going to hit at the major league level. But I thought Riley Green was not necessarily proving himself, but I thought, pretty steady. The difference is Riley Green has not been healthy. And he's only got 2 years under his belt. So what do you think of that? See, the really good teams have locked up their young talent. And they locked them up for a long period of time. Atlanta's a great example of that. They really are. If you want to be a Major League Baseball team, Atlanta is a pretty damn good example to follow. Drafting, what did we talk about earlier? Drafting, developing, things of that nature. You looked at the Braves, look at what they were able to do. Going into 2023, they had seven players inked to long-term deals. Ozzie Albies, who's out right now injured, 7 years, $35 million. Ronald Acuna, 8 years, $100 million. Matt Olson, 8 years, $168 million. Austin Riley, 10 years, $212 million. Michael Harris, $872 million. Spencer Strider, $792 million. Sean Murphy, $786 million. Strider, Harris, Riley, Acuna, Albies, all drafted and developed. The Braves did it with Strider after a year. They did it with Harris after a year. They did it with Acuna shortly into his major league career. I don't have a problem with Cole Keith getting it if they truly believe he's going to be the guy. Now, the other guys, except for Harris, really, had already done stuff at the major league level. So maybe the Tigers are just following suit. I guess my question would have been, why him? Why was he first? Why wasn't it Green? Why wasn't it Torkelson? Why wasn't it Scooble? Because it obviously leads to a question from fans and media, and rightfully so, what aren't they doing that would convince you to give them a long-term contract? Should we be concerned? Should we wonder why you used a first-round choice on Green and Torkelson, who was 1A in the draft, and you're not giving them a deal? But you're going to give it to a 22-year-old unproven at the major league level. Explain that. It opens up questions, and rightfully so. But I love what the... Here's the difference. I mean, the Braves, all those guys we were just talking about, those men I just listed. Now, Murphy was acquired in a trade at the deadline a couple of years ago. Olson was signed as a free agent because they lost Freddie Freeman. Those guys are all high-level players and leading this team on a regular basis to the top in the National League East. Tigers don't have those guys. But it begs the question, do you not believe those guys can do that for you? If you believe it, why aren't you rewarding them? And if you're not rewarding them, how do we doubt come to the conclusion that you don't believe it yet? I think that's all fair. 866-838-4843 to the phone lines. Ben, who do we got?
Yeah, we got Freddie on the line.
Hey, Freddie, what's going on, man?
Hey, Shep, I really didn't want to send you that text. I really wanted to call, but my kids actually went to school earlier than I thought. I felt that the day Colt Keith signed. I'm not saying anything like they shouldn't have signed him. I'm not saying anything about any of the other players. It was a question that's always been in my mind because for me, the Tigers are fascinating to me. It brings me back to my childhood. You know, you have to be my age or older to understand how bad the Tigers were in the late 70s. And then all these young kids came up and you got to put that puzzle together. It's exactly what the Tigers are doing. They're putting that puzzle together. And it's fun to see. I mean, it sucks they're not hitting, but you like to see who's going to pan out, who's not going to pan out. And Scott Harris, you know, normally when you get a new general manager, a guy running a team, they generally push out guys that they didn't draft, right? And they keep some guys, and you're wondering where Scott Harris is thinking. You know, is he Riley Green's a hot button in this town? Now, you know, it's going to be a matter of time if he doesn't. For me, if he doesn't continue to hit and progress, I think he's going to become a guy in this town where what's going on? All this talent, he's kind of hurt a lot. And it almost seems like they need him to hit for this lineup to get in order. But last year, I believe it happened last year. I get confused on the seasons. He was out for a while. He came back. He went on a hitting streak, and the team started hitting. He's the number one guy for me. Is he a Harris guy or is he not a Harris guy, Shep? That's kind of my point in my text. And then the other guys fall in suit. Torkelson. There's other guys that we're not even talking about, Ty Madden and stuff like that. But
Max Clark. I appreciate the phone call. It's a great discussion. It really. I don't think it matters. It shouldn't matter. Good general managers shouldn't have any problem. Just because they didn't draft him doesn't mean that they shouldn't keep them. Just shouldn't mean that they haven't bought in. Granted, Riley Green, prior to this year, 93 games as a rookie, 99 games a year ago because of the injury. I wouldn't call him injury prone. I wouldn't do that yet. I think he's a really good player. He's 23, for crying out loud. We got to remember, he went from high school to the pros before working his way into the major leagues. He's 23 years old. That's it. Baseball, you can talk about your childhood all you want, and it's great. The thing you have to remember is he's got a little bit more than 800 at-bats. I don't have the exact number in front of me. He's got a little bit more than 800 at-bats. That's it. Come on. And I'm not mad at Freddie by any stretch. He said he's a hot button. He's a hot button. Based on what? 800 at bats at age 23? We love to use 84. Some of these people who have been around baseball a little bit longer, Freddie, me, and think, oh, I love it when all these guys came up. Well, Trammell and Whitaker came up together. Later on, it was Gibson and Parrish and Morris and stuff. That's great. They all played together in the minor leagues. Fantastic. Here's the difference. Trammell and Whitaker and Parrish up the middle were all-stars on a regular basis. Trammell's a Hall of Famer. Whitaker should be. You could make the argument for Parrish. You could. You could make the argument that he is a Hall of Fame caliber player. 6 Silver Sluggers, 3-time Gold Glove, 8-time All-Star. Of course, if Bill Freehand's not in, why in the hell would they put another Tigers catcher like Lance Parrish in? And Freehand should be in too. 11-time All-Star, 5-time Gold Glover. Based on catchers, you absolutely believe they should be. That's up the middle. Detroit hasn't done that. Detroit hasn't developed a catcher. Detroit hasn't developed a shortstop or a second baseman. They've got outfielders. And that was the knock when they took Torkelson because people felt like that he was strictly a first baseman. Do you really take a first baseman that high? My argument was absolutely. Who else are you going to take? He was clearly the best college player. And I wonder what people are hoping for or expecting in certain situations from these players. Torkelson's 24. Keith's 22, I believe. Green's 23. Torkelson's 24 years old. They're still learning. It's a tough business, man. It's a tough, tough, tough league. But let's not forget, as much as people want to dwell on the batting average from Torkelson, he had 31 bombs and 94 stakes a year ago. He's not quite there yet. Still looking for his first home run this year, right? Yeah. Hard to be consistent in that sport, especially. He needs to elevate his game. He needs to be better. Phone number is 866-838-4843. I love referring back to the glory days of things, okay? I think we all do it. It's not 84, man. It's not the late 70s where these guys are coming up and learning together. And by the way, if it were you patient enough to see and deal with and understand as much as anything else? Were you able to understand the struggles that a lot of players had? How quickly did you judge Kirk Gibson at age 23 when he was batting 263? Hell, how quickly did you judge him in 1983 when he struggled mightily and hit 227 and only 15 home runs before finishing fourth in the MVP the following season? Can you imagine today with 24-hour sports radio, and social media, what it would be like? Really good discussion all morning long. Enjoyed every single minute of it with you here on X's and Bros. We hope you can join us again tomorrow from 9 or 6 until 9. Don't forget, later on today, the huge show on these great station affiliates from 3 to 6. Appreciate Ben's help, all your phone calls, all your texts. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning on X's and Bros across the great state of Michigan on the Michigan Sports Network. Have a good one, Dave.
We play for the thrill, that rush you feel with the game on the line. I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver. Now, with Eagle Casino and Sports, the new sportsbook app from Soaring Eagle, anywhere I'm at, I'm still in the game.
Sign up now and get up to $1,000. That's right, up to $1,000 for a risk-free bet on your next favorite underdog, parlay, or prop.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan, made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
Huge here with a special thank you to three of our partners who are helping bring the 313 NFL Draft Party on Thursday, April 25th to life in downtown Detroit. Josh Garvey and the team at Dorn Mayhew, one of the world's top accounting, CPA, and business firms. Josh is a great man, and that company is doing great things. Josh heads up the GR office. Also, Matt Golden, the CEO of the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan. They're set to open up both courses at the end of the month, and you can book a stay-and-play package. Or if you want to take care of business and mix in a little pleasure on the golf course, great food, beverages, go to TullymoreGolf.com. That is TullymoreGolf.com. Book your stay-and-play package or schedule your next event less than an hour north of GR. And also to the team at Coppercraft Distillery, they're the home of Honolulu Blue. If you're a Lions fan, you need to be drinking Honolulu Blue. Thanks for your help with the 313 Draft Party.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Roast Umber is a farm direct coffee sourced from Central American farmers and roasted in Grand Rapids. And also the Nitro cold brew coffee is a convenient and healthy option for energy with no sugar additives. Look for it at your local retailer or at roastumber.com.
The Freddie the Pizza Man Foundation is dedicated to providing support to families and Michigan schools touched by autism. We invite you to join us in supporting these families and schools by making a donation at FreddieThePizzaMan.com. With your donation, you can help provide essential resources that can make a real impact. Visit FreddieThePizzaMan.com to make a donation and to learn more about the foundation's mission. That's FreddieThePizzaMan.com. Together, we can make a difference.
Coming up later today at 3 on the Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network, I'll deliver huge opinions on everything you're talking about.